Today, President Trump tweeted of George Papadopoulos, the 30-year-old foreign policy aide who pled guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russians. Few people knew the young, low-level volunteer named George, who had already proven to be a liar. But reporters have found pictures of Papadopoulos at a high-level meeting with then-candidate Trump, and the Washington Post found audio of Trump, the candidate, praising him. The bombshell that Papadopoulos was actually arrested in July came as Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, and Manafort's deputy, Rick Gates, were put under house arrest yesterday, charged with conspiracy and money laundering. But it's the Papadopoulos charges that are considered the most significant, because we're now learning that Russians offered Papadopoulos thousands of hacked Democratic Party emails 2 months before Russian hacking of the DNC was publicly revealed last year. And that's raising a lot of questions about who knew what. Ryan Lucas covers the Justice Department for NPR. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
First of all, a surprise, the president tweeting about Papadopoulos this morning after such serious charges.
Well, I don't know if it's a surprise. I mean, the president has made clear for the past 9 months that he's willing to tweet on just about anything, and it's kind of a way for him to vent in some instances. Whether it was wise is I think another question. Reportedly, Chief of Staff John Kelly and some of the president's lawyers, including Ty Cobb, told him to kind of be cautious on this front.
Yeah.
I mean, these are serious charges, as you note. But I think from a political and PR standpoint, this is something that the president and the White House feels that, you know, they feel that they need to respond to in some sense.
But it's just drawing more attention to the discrepancies. Let's listen. The White House is framing Papadopoulos as a nobody. And former campaign advisor Michael Caputo today called him a coffee boy. And in yesterday's press briefing, here's a montage of Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders repeatedly describing Papadopoulos.
It was extremely limited. It was a volunteer position. And again, he was a volunteer on the campaign and a volunteer. He reached out and nothing happened beyond that, which I think shows.
That's, of course, talking about how he reached out to the Russians, but he did reach out to the Trump campaign as well with what he heard from the Russians. And here's sound from then-candidate Trump's interview with The Washington Post in 2016 describing Papadopoulos, his advisor.
George Papadopoulos, he's an oil and energy consultant, excellent guy.
Okay, and then there's that picture of Papadopoulos and Trump and then Senator Jeff Sessions and others at a March 31st, 2016 planning meeting, this during the campaign. You know, all of this discrepancy, and now it's known that Papadopoulos has been talking to the FBI since his arrest in July. What are White House concerns there?
Well, I mean, Papadopoulos joined the campaign in March, and according to the court papers that were filed yesterday, he had these kind of long-running interactions with Russian or Russian proxies of the Russian government, trying to set up some sort of meeting between Trump and senior Russian officials, or between members of the Trump campaign and Russian officials, and was also told by one of his contacts that the Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton in the form of thousands of emails. So, if Papadopoulos was communicating with senior campaign officials, as the court papers say he was, about these interactions, that means a lot of other people who were in the campaign are potentially exposed.
Well, and remember, this was in March of 2016. A couple months later, in June of 2016, we now know that Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, Donald Trump Jr. had their meeting with Russians who professed to have, you know, dirt on Hillary Clinton. Is it then assumed that FBI investigators want to know whether they knew that Papadopoulos had also made that outreach?
Well, I think that investigators want to know everything tied to that June meeting at Trump Tower that they can, because it ties into the question that is the kind of the core of the Mueller probe, which is possible ties between Russians and the Trump campaign, and was there any coordination? You know, that's something that irregardless of what Papadopoulos did, I think that Trump Tower meeting is of interest to investigators anyways. And I think it would be safe to assume that.
Yeah. There's fallout elsewhere. Powerful Democratic Party lobbyist Tony Podesta, the brother of Hillary Clinton's campaign chair, John Podesta, whose emails were hacked, stepped down from his lobbying firm yesterday because of his connections to Paul Manafort's lobbying work for Ukraine. Manafort had asked Podesta to do some of that lobbying work for the Russian-backed president of Ukraine. Gets pretty complicated here because, you know, is the suspicion that Tony Podesta might also have been working for the Russians against his brother's Democratic campaign? I mean, what could be the questions there?
I think that this ties more into the issue of not declaring oneself as an agent of a foreign government, which is mm-hmm. what lobbyists are supposed to do. This is what got Manafort and his associate Rick Gates into trouble yesterday with their indictment. One of the charges stems from not registering as a foreign agent for a foreign government.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what that ties back into, not so much the Russia collusion question.
Is Washington waiting for shoes to fall?
Well, everyone is kind of on edge here, and the fallout from yesterday's charges continue to have these ripple effects, Podesta being one of them. But, you know, people want to know where this is going to go from here, and mm-hmm. there are a lot of potential avenues for the Mueller investigation to go.
Ryan Lucas covers the Justice Department for NPR. Ryan, thank you.
Thank you.